I call the Committee on Economic Development, Finance, and Policy to order. A quorum is present. Representative Katiza Watoon, would you like to move approval of the minutes from March 15th, 2023?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you. The minutes have been moved. Any additions or corrections? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. All those in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The minutes are approved. Representative Chair Hassan, thank you for being here. Representative Hassan, you have House File 1922, and you move that to be re-referred to the General Register. Is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Hassan. It sounds like there also is an A1 Authors Amendment. Would you like to move that?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thanks. Representative Hassan moves adoption of the A1 Authors Amendment. Would you like to tell us a little bit about the amendment first?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This amendment is combining four bills together, House File 1922, Explore Minnesota Council Change the Policy Bill, and then House File 1783, the Iron Range Separation and Retention Incentive Program Provided, House File 1781, Giants Rich Account Created, and then House File 2233, which is the Deed Policy Bill. In conversation with the Senate, We decided that those four bills should get across the finish line together. So that's what the amendment is.
Thank you, Chair Hassan. All those in favor of adopting the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. And Chair Hassan, it sounds like there's no testifiers for the bill. Is that correct?
Nope. These are our bills that we have already heard, and it is, I don't see a necessity of like going back and re-explaining. We just wanna send it to the General Registry.
Great, thank you so much, Chair Hassan. Any discussion from the committee? Seeing none, Rep. Hassan renews her motion that House File 1922 as amended be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the motion prevails and is on its way. Next up, Chair Hassan, it sounds like you have House File 2590, and you move for that to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Is that right?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Hassan. And if you would mind, please explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for the opportunity to present House File 2590, which is an appropriation to nonprofits serving the African immigrant community. Minnesota is home to the United States' largest Somali population and has the ninth largest population of African immigrants nationally. One in five immigrants in Minnesota is of African descent. Since the year 2000, the number of African immigrants in Minnesota has doubled or even tripled, with the numbers roaring around the 100,000s. Labor and forced participation rates are strong among African immigrants in Minnesota, reaching about 78% in the 2012-2016 period. In 2023 demographic center report that just came out a few weeks ago highlights the African immigrant as the youngest communities, and which have some of the poorest outcomes. And which brings us to the why this ask is important and vital for these communities. I truly believe that uplifting from the bottom, and this is how we uplift from the bottom, is funding entities and communities that need the most. With that, Madam Chair, I have a testifier, and I know we're crunch on time, so I'll tell my testifier to be super quick. This is a combination of nonprofits that are working together to get funding for the African immigrant population across the state. And I have, I believe, Nasipu, who is from African Development Center, will be our testifier today.
Thank you, Chair Hassan. If the testifier would like to make their way to the table here, introduce yourself, share your pronouns if you'd like, the organization you're with, and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you so very much, Madam Chair, and the members of the committee. My name is Nasibu Soreva, CEO of the African Development Center. Madam Chair, as Rep. Hassan said, the African immigrants really calls this great state home. The African Development Center has been doing this work that Chair Hassan was talking about for the last 15 years. We were really seeking for this direct appropriation because we've really been struggling to actually get funding for loans, for technical assistance, and for capacity building. I'll give you a couple examples of what Madam Chair Hassan said here a little bit. Last year, just the African Development Center was able to approve more than $5 million of loans. We had a request of more than $10 million of loan. Madam Chair, I'll give you a few examples. One, just the African Development Center itself, we were able to do a commercial real estate, one, to a business called Midwest Properties for someone from the community, and we did $900,000 for them to be able to actually purchase that building. And then we were able to do Hope Therapeutic in South Minneapolis, and this was $700,000 just the African Development Center itself did last year for them to be able to do some mental challenge work and to help the vulnerable dads. Another one, we did the Goodland Properties in St. Paul, which we did $400,000 just last year alone. Then we were able to do St. Paul Kids Choice, which is a child care center owned by the somebody from the East African community. If we did not do that, the landlord was actually just about to kick them out. And the last one, but not least, that we did Family First Choice, which is in South Minneapolis. They had a contract for deed that they were just about to default on it, and it had unreasonable terms. We were able to help them with $400,000 for them to purchase that. Madam Chair, last but not least, as I'm speaking here right now, I hope I will not be asked to actually mention this private sector, this private organization. They've promised to give us, which I'm reviewing the documents right now, over $10 million for us to do exactly this work in Greater Minnesota, because none of the organization that Rep. Hassan was talking about is actually doing this work in Greater Minnesota. So for us to be able to secure some of this funding here is going to help us big time to do exactly the same thing that this private sector, to be frank, it's a bank that's going to give us more than $10 million to leverage with the funding that we're actually requesting. So thank you so very much for being able to listen to us to be able to do this job.
Thank you so much for being here, and thank you for your testimony. Representative Hassan, did you have any other comments?
Madam Chair, I just want to note that there was an amendment that didn't make it in time. Was the final ask is not $30 million. I believe the final ask is $13 million. So I just want to put that on the record. I don't think the amendment made it on time to be included in this hearing.
Sure. Well, thank you for confirming that. I appreciate it. Any discussion from the committee? Okay, Representative Katiza Watoon, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Hassan, for bringing this bill forward. I know we're short on time today, so I'll keep my comments really brief. One of my constituents is here in support of this bill and was hopeful to testify, but we're truncating everything because of how much important work we have to do. And I just want to say how wonderful it is to see the entrepreneurial spirit of the African American people who are, you know, joining this community, who have come here to either be with family, to search for the American dream. And I think, you know, it's really wonderful that the organizations have sought out external funding. And so it can be kind of a private-public partnership. And I think this will be a really wonderful investment for our state to make.
Thank you, Representative Katiza Watoon. Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that there was some scalability in the program, and you weren't able to get the an amendment into. Is the author able to break down what the new amounts would be, or maybe we can follow up and get that? But my point is I appreciate that was a concern that we had, and it sounds like you've recognized it and worked it out already. But if you could just let us know, or I suppose we'll see it in a possible omnibus bill.
Representative Hassan.
Just think about all the ask and cut it in half. That's the best I can say for now, but I'll also send the amendment to the committee, but you will see this bill again in the final bill too.
Thank you, Representative Hassan. Representative Kosnick,
I would just say, I think there is a need, and you're filling uplifting an important economic driver, so I appreciate that part of the bill.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. Representative Weiner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question, I guess, is the same drum I've been beating every time we have issues or economic development is reporting and making sure that we have some sort of tracking to where the tax dollars are going. So how will the outcome be measured? And there's different groups listed here. Will each of them do separate reporting, or is this going through a certain group? How will that be done?
Representative Hassan.
I will phone a friend. So
go ahead.
Mr. Nasipu can just.
Yes, Madam Chair, member of the committee. The funding, as Chair Rep Hassan said, will go through DEED. I see temporary deputy commissioner is here. So we have the CRM that actually can report on job creation, job retentions, and we also do additional more work whereby we are looking into outcomes just rather than outputs, whereby we actually commission a third-party organization that can do actually an economic analysis in terms for every $1 that, let's say, the state is going to put into what we are asking, how much actually return on investment that we get it back. So we've been really very versed in terms of reporting on everything that you've actually asked here, but we'll be reporting as a group. I think that will be what will be determined by DEED, which we can either have one organization doing that or all of us report to DEED, and then DEED may be reporting to the commission, to the legislators.
So if I understand.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Representative Weiner.
So if I understand you correctly, there would be one report for all the various groups and not broke down through the DEED report?
Yeah, it should be like that way. Yes.
Okay. So.
Any follow-up, Representative Weiner?
No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any further discussion? So, Representative Carly Katizawatun, you said you had another testifier. We do have a few minutes if we want to ask for that testifier. If they can do this in about 2 minutes.
Would you like to come and testify?
Again, thank you so very much.
Yeah. Chair Hassan moved so quickly on our first bill that we're just moving along here and have time to make sure we get everyone's voice heard. So. Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself, share your pronouns if you'd like, your organization, and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, the rest of the committee members. My name is Asad Elwade. I'm the founder and president of New American Development Center. New American Development Center is a community-based organization that works with the East African and Somali community mostly, with other low-income community around the Twin Cities. We started from Union Prairie, but we also have offices in Bloomington and Minneapolis. So we focus on economic building, asset and wealth building for African immigrant community and also for housing advocacy. We work with Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. We help many families when the pandemic happens, manage $11 million for the state to redistribute the rent, utilities, mortgage for those who are struggling. For this economic building, bill that we have, you know, Minnesota is one of the, as Chair Hassan says, it's the largest African immigrant home, and especially the East African Somali community, which are historically entrepreneurial kind of people. So this bill actually will create a wealth and asset. It will help people who are barriers in culture and in systems barriers and challenges to have access to business technical assistance, loan, entrepreneurial training. It will also attract a different funders like foundations to bring some other. So it will be a government money, a taxpayer's money, would also attract the private funders also to come, because when you have the capacity of that, you will get more resources. In my study, in my PhD program, actually was about how the profit, nonprofit and government agencies work together. And this is one of the classic example of projects.
Thank you so much for sharing your testimony and keeping it within the 2 minutes. We appreciate that. Any member discussion with our latest testifier? Seeing none, Rep. Hassan, any final comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to the testifiers. The ultimate goal of this bill is to provide support to nonprofits who are the frontline workers of the African community. And I I will tell you, from somebody who is from the African community, who sees the disparities every single day, these dollars will be well spent, and there is a return investment into the state. So thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chair Hassan. Thank you, testifiers, for being here today. And with that, Chair Hassan moves that House File 2590 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill with a possible follow-up amendment to come to the committee. While Chair Hassan makes her way back, next up we have Representative Herr. If you want to make your way to the table with any testifiers. And I will turn the gavel back to Chair Hassan.
Rep. Herr, welcome to the committee. I understand this is your first time in this committee.
That is true, Madam Chair.
All right.
Madam Chair, where are the egg rolls, Representative Herr?
Madam Chair, Representative Katiza Batun, I will make egg rolls when session is over, and you all can come over to my house and eat there.
All right. Chair moves that House File 2384 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. I believe there's a DE1 amendment.
That is correct, Madam Chair.
All right. Well, I move the DE amendment. Would you explain what the DE amendment does?
Yes, Madam Chair. The DE1 amendment doesn't change the request of the amount of $50 million. What it does is it put guardrails in place for how the funds will be used. That's line 0.19 to 1.18, and then reporting that Minnesota sports and events must provide to the legislative committees with jurisdiction. That's line 1.19 to 2.11.
All right. Well, all in favor of adopting the DE amendment? Discussion on the DE amendment. Seeing none, all in favor of adopting the DE amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails. The DE is adopted. Your bill is before us as amended. Please explain your bill, Rep. Herr.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank you for hearing House File 2384 this morning. I am carrying this bill because it is not only good for St. Paul, Minneapolis, and the metro region, but it is also good for the entire state of Minnesota. This is a jobs bill, an economic development bill, and a tax growth bill. We are here today with this request because the process for attracting top-tier events has changed. Even though our state has recently attracted a Super Bowl, All-Star Games, and two Final Fours, we have to meet new expectations to stay in the game. With your support, this bill will continue to put Minnesota in the center of the sports universe. Today, I do have several testifiers here today to testify for this bill. I have additional comments of why this is so important, but I'm going to save those in case there is more time at the end. I will add it then. With that, Madam Chair, if you are okay, I would like to turn it over to my first testifier.
All right. Please, welcome to committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed. And just want to remind folks that we are hearing 10 bills, and we're very crunch on time, so just to be brief. So then we also want to make sure that members have time for questions and discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Hassan, Ranking Member Kosnick, and members of the committee. My name is Wendy Blackshaw, and I'm proud to serve as President and CEO of Minnesota Sports and Events, the nonprofit 501c6 established in 2020 to attract world-class events that bring economic, reputational, and community impact to our region. With events like last year's NCAA Women's Final Four, upcoming Special Olympics USA Games, we shine a global light and bring millions of dollars in tourism and hospitality business to the state. Reputationally, it's great to see a New York Times headline during Women's Final Four last year that mentioned Minneapolis as a mecca for women's basketball. And I do want to stress that with each event, MNSE prioritizes community initiatives with a focus on underserved communities, which Fartun Osman will speak to in a moment. In addition, as Representative Herr mentioned, each event has a statewide component. For example, World Juniors will include exhibitions in other cities around the state of Minnesota. We were created to accomplish just such success. There are many opportunities on our horizon, but we do need to work together to build a competitive model to ensure we continue to host these events. Minnesota has successfully hosted many major events, but over the past few years, the game has changed. We have continued to pay for these events through corporate sponsorship, but that model is no longer working. The competition is increased substantially as cities and states across the country recognize the significance of these events. In the past 3 years, we have lost bids to Detroit, Indianapolis, Milwaukee, Las Vegas, just to name a few. Event organizers are now asking that the funding is available at bid submission. We are currently the only major city of our size unable to provide that. Our corporate community will continue to support these events, but a private-public partnership is required to effectively compete. I want to emphasize a point about this investment. First, these expenditures stay in our community. So this is to pay for local costs, public safety, security, permitting, union labor. We're asking for $50 million because we have three events on deck right now. If we want to host Olympic Trials for Gymnastics, which is around $5 million, World Juniors Hockey, which costs around $20 million, and WWE, which costs $20 million, we will need over $40 million. But our funding will be gone in a year. If we receive $20 million, then we'll be able to host two events. And if we don't receive funding, we will freeze bidding in June. However, the return on investment in these events can be up to 10 to 1. So if we have local expenditures of $7 million, we could create an economic impact of $70 million. We have many exciting sporting events interested in coming to Minnesota. Women's rugby, WWE, and what I hope will be our next win, which will be the Olympic team trials for gymnastics, where our own SUNY Lee will hopefully compete. But Minnesota is at a critical turning point. If we do not have that sustainable funding, we'll have to stop bidding. We've built a great reputation for hosting events. We have a bright future if we work together. Thank you so much for your consideration.
All right, Rep. Hur, I believe you have one more testifier.
Yes.
All right.
Sure.
Would you come to the testifying table and introduce yourself for the record and proceed?
Good morning. My name is Persona Osman, and I'm a CEO head coach. GARRAX organization, athlete program. I founded 2014 Bermuda Sports Muslim Girl. I support this funding Minnesota sports event because it's bringing great sports and event in Minnesota for girls athletes to see outstanding competition by their role model and then perceptive in the experience. I was born in Somalia. I was a rare female basketball player, native country. However, there was a lack of opportunity to support women's sport. I travel other countries as part of women's Somali national team. As a teenager, eventually immigrated to the U.S. in civil war broke out. I got married. I have two sons, two daughters. I found GARRAX in this initiative. Mentor Muslim girls, give them place to play sports, their hijab. My brother has coached mentor over 1,000 girls in Minnesota and St. Paul. The Magnet National event have recently come to the Twin City has been amazing girl athlete to see what possible to the sport. I was honored for my work as a part of Title IX and the first of the championship tour. My girl saw a picture of me, some that look like them, honored at the site of a beautiful tour that went all over the state of Minnesota. Minnesota has featured in the newspaper of the Title IX Bermuda. The GARRAX program has honored as the NCAA Women's Final Four Legs Award, as a positive way to address issue necessary in our community. Taking my girls athlete to Women's Final Four, most recently Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament, show them the girls look like them, play sports. Sports break down barriers, help overcome stereotype. I want to highlight one of my girls. I met Rama when she was 8 years old. She was one of the youngest athletes we had. We realized quickly that she was beyond her years. Through the other sport mentoring GARRAX, we were able to nurture her ability into the great opportunity outcomes. All that her family was a bit strict first with sport, interfered with her studies. She advocated herself with our program. Helped navigate school and sports. She is graduating from high school at age 15 and graduating U of M Minnesota degree as psychology at age 19. She is now 21 years old, grad school as a doctor. She is bringing help and mentor with girls' rights, has always been brought to seeing sports as a Muslim girls. And also, I want to highlight, if I have time, Yasmin love sport and play three sports. Yeah, she was always excited to play with older girls, honored to skill. She was able to go many trips. Is that my time?
Thank you, Ms. Osman. I know Ms. Osman. She is a national figure for Somali sports. She played basketball, right?
Basketball and track and field.
Yep. Thank you for being here, and thank you for the work that you're doing with young girls. I am a firm believer that young people need a real model. I don't use role models because role models are people that you see on TV and you can't reach. Real models are individuals that are in your community that you can actually connect with and have a conversation with that can help you when you feel stuck and when you need help. Thank you for your work.
Thank you. Yes.
Rep Heard, do we have one more?
Well, Madam Chair, thank you. We just have a quick video from Lou Nanny, who was actually here shaking hands with people very recently. So I'd love to be able to show this video. It's only a couple
30
minutes.
30 seconds?
Yes, 30 seconds.
All right, let's do it.
Hi, this is Lou Nanny. I would like all you legislators to support our bill, the Minnesota Sports and Events Bill, that will be before you. We are asking for support for $50 million. And in that bill, we would be able to bring many, many big events to the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota. Among those, I can speak specifically. It's called the World Junior Championships. I've been associated with USA Hockey for over 40 years and have had the good fortune to serve on a number of committees, some of which I'm still on, including the International Committee. And that sanctions this kind of championship. You have countries from all over the world competing, and every day, all day long on the NHL network, you could see games or discussions about the tournament. You also get that all across Canada. You get that all across the world. Finland, Sweden, Czechoslovakia, Russia, Germany, Austria, they all have teams in the tournament. And so you are getting great publicity, great visibility for the Twin Cities and for the state of Minnesota at a time when it would be very eventful for us. This could help all the businesses around the state, especially in the downtown areas with the hotels and food establishments. But it also gives great notoriety to the state of Minnesota itself. Now, I just want you to think about the World Junior Championship compared to the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, obviously, is the biggest sports event there is for us in the United States. Commercial costs 30 seconds costs $30 million. But you got a billion people watching the game. However, when those commercials are running, a lot are going to the bathroom or getting a sandwich or getting a beer or what have you. So it's just that one time and it's done. Now, the World Junior Championship, we need $18 million to support the police, the fire, all the setup, etc. You're getting a commercial all day long, every day for weeks. And it's $18 million is all we need for that. It's part of the $50 million bill. And in that bill, you're also going to be able to get the Olympic gymnastic trials with Suni Lee, the WWE. We need this, and we need this now, and we can get it with your great support. Thank you very much.
Discussion on the bill. Lead Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And question. Do you know, or does the author or the testifier know, have we provided grants similar to this for the same organization in the past, and what kind of experience did we have on that?
Repper or Ms. Blackshaw?
Looks like they're shaking their head no.
Chair Hassan and Representative Kosnick, they have never received public dollars before. This is the first time coming to the state.
Kosnick.
Okay. Well, thank you. And I do appreciate in the DE, there's quite a bit of accounting and a breakdown, even an audit on that. Little concern with the price tag of $50 million. We have a lot of people with good ideas here. So it's kind of a leap of faith a little bit. That's just the main concern. The size, it looks like it's pretty well thought out. But what other private funds or how much private funds are being utilized in the same effort?
Well, 100% of our – oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. 100%, yeah, Madam Chair, 100% of our funding has been corporate sponsorship up till now. So for Super Bowl, $60 million we raised. For Women's Final Four, $5 million. And we will continue to bring our corporate partners to the table. It's just these events are, you know, they cost money. And so the corporate sponsorship cannot continue to fund completely.
Any follow-up?
No, I just thought, you know, the price tag's a little high, but we'll leave it to the discretion of the chair on how you and the committee want to do that. But I do appreciate the significant, even more reporting in here and auditing that we don't normally have in a lot of the reports. You know, some of the costs like transportation are I'm interested in seeing how you spend the money if you do get the money, and we'll be watching. So good luck.
All right. Rep Wiener, do you have a comment?
No.
All right. Any other comments? Oh, everybody loves your bill. Her final comment.
Thank you, Chair Hassan, and committee for hearing the bill. And I think that for us to remember, I know Representative Kosnick mentions the leap of faith, but the truth is there are some, very rarely do we get return on investment on the money that we do provide or appropriate. And this will be one of those rare bills that we will be able to measure the return on investment. And I think that the state should rest assured that it is a good bill and is a good investment. So thank you so much. And I ask for support of this bill from the committee.
Thank you, Rep. Hur, and your testifiers. Chair News, that motion House File 2384 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you. The next bill is House File 2520, Rep. Purcell. Chair moves that House File 2520 be laid over for possible inclusion. Welcome to the committee. Please explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Too often, small rural cities in Minnesota don't have the staff or budget capacity to take advantage of development opportunities or address pressing economic issues in their communities. The existing staff may have limited time or expertise to help more economic development forward. As a community-centered nonprofit based in a small town, CEDA helps these smaller rural cities and counties across the state, because all too often these smallest rural places often don't have the financial capacity to develop a basic economic development program on their own. These small communities miss out on taking advantage of state and federal programs that their larger neighbors can access. If funding for the Community Economic Development Associates grant program to small cities were to be passed, we would be able to support 150 hours of technical assistance and project funding to 18 cities that are under 3,000 in population across rural Minnesota. Funding this initiative means CEDA could provide technical assistance to help create basic platform for economic development, such as create or renew a revolving loan fund in their communities, create downtown or commercial programs, small business or entrepreneurial programs, childcare programs, and or business retention and expansion efforts. Grants would be up to $15,000 that will be granted so that these small communities can implement their initiatives that they see the need for in their communities and be provided financial assistance. This program will be spread around the state to a maximum of 2 qualified cities in each of the non-metro economic development regions of the state. And now I would like to pass it over to my one testifier. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Rep. Purcell. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you, Representative Purcell. My name is Chris Giesen. I am Vice President of Community and Economic Development Associates, or CEDA. We are a 501c3 that is based in Chatfield, Minnesota. We have 44 staff, 7 volunteer board of director members. We've been around since 1986, working in rural Minnesota. And other areas across the Midwest, but we're centered on Minnesota. We work with about 60 or 70 rural communities in Minnesota, all the way up to the northern borders of our state, all the way down to the southern borders and the western borders. We hear about the metro and the greater Minnesota regions of our state, but we like to work with a third group called rural Minnesota. These are cities that just are looking for a swing at the plate, and we try to give that to them. Like Representative Purcell said, we too often run into these cities that just don't have the capacity for this basic economic development initiatives to take advantage of the opportunities that they have surrounding them. But financially, it might be a burden to them, or you know, maybe they only have a part-time city clerk at City Hall, and they just aren't able to actually move things forward. This bill would provide funding to give these small rural cities up to 150 hours of technical assistance. It would also create, help them create that basic platform for economic development in their communities. Things like child care initiatives, entrepreneurial services, revolving loan funds. There's a lot of state MIF funds that are sitting idle in cities like this. This would help get those back active again. It also provide up to $15,000 to each city to further those initiatives that they choose. So they can take advantage of those opportunities that their larger neighbors are able to without much effort. We'd be able to help 18 cities across rural Minnesota in the first round of this, and cities under 3,000 in population would be eligible, and it would be based on the need that they have. With that, Madam Chair, I would have any questions and be able to answer.
Thank you. Discussion on the bill? Rep. Igo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not really a question, just more of a comment. I want to thank CETA for being here today. They do a lot of great work across the state of Minnesota. They're actually active in Itasca County, working with dozens of communities and doing a lot of good work for our small towns. I also appreciate that when CETA came to the table to ask for this one-time appropriation, they never asked for dollars. The amount they're asking for is they're only asking for what their group and their agency can support right now. I think that's a huge show to a lot of other groups that come for this committee, saying that this is what we can handle, this is what we're going to ask for, and that takes a lot. I give a lot of accolades to that. So I thank the bill author for bringing this and working with CETA. I mean, we should almost send this to the General Register. This is a really good bill, and this is going to help all of Minnesota. Can't wait to support it.
All right.
Is that a motion?
All right. All right. Any other discussion? Your final comment on the bill.
Thank you, Representative Igo, for your enthusiastic support. I think those of us who have worked in these communities and have gotten to work with this organization feel similarly. So thank you for your enthusiasm and for your consideration.
Thank you, Rep. Purcell. Chair renews the motion that House File 2520 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Next bill is 2556. Rep. Wogamat. Welcome to the committee. Chair moves that House File 2556 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Please explain your bill, Rep. Wogamat. Welcome.
Madam Chair, it is so great to be in your committee this morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity to present House File 2556. Which is a bill to provide $18 million to capitalize the small business revolving loan funds of the six initiative foundations, which serve as economic development catalysts in greater Minnesota. Here's how the proposal works, Madam Chair and members. Each of the foundations will receive $3 million. The six initiative foundations are the Northwest Minnesota Foundation in Bemidji, the Northland Foundation in Duluth, the West Central Initiative in Fergus Falls, the Initiative Foundation in Little Falls, the Southwest Initiative Foundation in Hutchinson, and the Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation in Owatonna. And a little background on these foundations, Madam Chair and members. Created in 1986, the Initiative Foundations are independent community foundations that provide grants, business loans, leadership programs, and donor services that spur economic growth and prosperity in greater Minnesota. Each foundation serves a distinct geographic region of greater Minnesota, and among them, they cover all counties in our state. Since their creation, they have been strong partners. Some recent examples of work that the Initiative Foundations have done are distributing all of the business relief funds in greater Minnesota to address the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. They distributed the Main Street Revitalization Funds in greater Minnesota, and at the start of the pandemic, they partnered with other foundations to get the first round of emergency grants out to our child care providers before the legislature could get the state's own child care pandemic relief program up and running. While these are the most recent examples, the partnership between the state of Minnesota and the Initiative Foundations go back to their very beginning. In fact, Madam Chair, in 1987, the legislature and the agency that is now DEED helped create the foundation's revolving loan program. And our state provided additional funding in 1993, 2014, and 2016. So those dollars that we invested more than 35 years ago are still impacting Minnesota's economy. As the payments on those loans come back in, the foundations push those dollars back into greater Minnesota's economy through new loans. And some more recent accomplishments that these dollars at the Initiative Foundation are having in greater Minnesota, just consider the following. Since 2020, 50% of the loans made by the West Central Initiative Foundation have supported women, BIPOC, or veterans businesses. The Initiative Foundation in Little Falls is the only lender in its 16-county region that can make Islamic-acceptable loans. This is huge for my constituents in St. Cloud. 30% of the capital raised in recent years by the Northland Foundation to support local businesses has gone directly to BIPOC businesses. And since in 2022, 71% of Northwest Minnesota Foundation's loans supported businesses in distressed census tracts, low-income business owners, Native-owned, and other BIPOC-owned businesses. So in closing, Madam Chair, to build on these investments this body made in 1987, 1993, 2014, and 2016, we have the ability to take $18 million of one-time money today and invest it with our long-term and trusted partners in the Initiative Foundations and turn that $18 million into ongoing money so that 30 years from now, entrepreneurs in greater Minnesota will continue to benefit from the thoughtful investment of the members of your committee and the 93rd Legislature. That's what the bill does. That's why I'm bringing it forward. And with that, Madam Chair, I have some testifiers to provide further insight as to why this bill is before you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Rep. Wogamad. I want to remind your testifiers that we're crunch on time, so being brief will be really, really appreciated. First testifier, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Scott Marquardt. I'm president of Southwest Initiative Foundation. We serve the 18 counties and two Native nations of Southwest Minnesota. Grateful to be here today. As Representative Wolgamut said, we've been your trusted partner since our inception in 86. We're grateful for your partnership and trust, and especially our relationship with DEED throughout all the pandemic programs that have helped deploy urgent capital to our entrepreneurs. Collectively, as of our last analysis in June of 2022, we've deployed over $318 million via 6,000 loans, helping create or retain 46,000 jobs statewide. Prior state funding was critical to our success, and we're grateful for it. This capital will support businesses in all stages of business life cycle, from startup to expansion to ownership succession. The Initiative Foundations have the expertise, relationships, and mission alignment to ensure that historically underserved and marginalized entrepreneurs are reached, especially women, BIPOC entrepreneurs, veterans, and persons with disabilities, people who have had historic challenges in accessing capital. To us, these are not just a transaction, more importantly, they're a relationship throughout the life of their business. In addition, we are excited that this bill provides funding for housing in our communities, which is critical need throughout greater Minnesota. We can use this capital to support housing development and redevelopment that's right-sized for our respective communities, especially for smaller projects that cannot access other housing funding programs. And in closing, I can say for my 18 counties, this funding has never been more urgent. We are at a historic level of deployment and demand from the entrepreneurs, which shows that great things are happening in greater Minnesota and capital is needed, especially for critical community needs, access to groceries and fresh food, home repair, veterinary medicine, car repairs, and other things that rural community need for a vibrant and healthy community. Again, we're grateful for the consideration of your bill. We're ready to continue serving this unique need in the marketplace to ensure that people do not fall through the cracks, to leverage TA, and to have a Minnesota where all people can prosper. Thank you.
Thank you. And then I believe you have one more testifier. And please introduce yourself for the record and be very brief.
Thank you. I'll do quick.
All right.
Hassan. And thank you very much and to coming to the front of all these wonderful people. and I'm testified with the bill in House File 2556. And my name is Toho Siad. I have a small business in St. Cloud, and I have a couple and business. I have a National Home Health Care Transportation, and also I have a properties. And I serve with the community a lot. And I see the Board of Directors, Economic Development Authority, City of St. Cloud, Center Care Foundation Board, and also Central Minnesota Community Foundation. I just to be engaged a lot of things with the St. Cloud. What I know the Initiative Foundation to be impacted this bill, $18 million. I think many of you guys know and how it is impact with the East African community who was living that area. They don't have anything to go to the bank, and also they don't have the credit to go all that. And also they don't have Islamic financing to the area. An Initiative Foundation does. I'm asking you to support all of you guys to the this bill. Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Thank you for being very brief.
I'll make short.
All right. Discussion on the bill. By Perryman.
I can't pass this up with my my homies here, can we? Toho, great to see you. I haven't seen you in a while because they keep me here too long, and you I see all the time. So I just really wanted to say great bill, and I'm disappointed you didn't ask me to be on it, so I'm just kidding. But all kidding aside, great bill, brings quality jobs, strengthens our whole community and the economy we have. So I just really can't say enough about it, and that I'm very proud to say that our Initiative Foundation from Little Falls does a lot of great work with this kind of money. So thank you for bringing the bill forward. Thank you, Toho, for being here. And thank you, Representative Wagamont, for bringing it again. And I want to help wherever I can.
Rep. Perryman, I want to put on the record, did you say homies?
I did. I did. Is that wrong? I'm a freshman, no, so I can say...
I'm just picking on you.
Okay.
I wouldn't expect somebody from St. Cloud to say homies.
I do have a background that I don't want to talk about.
All right. Maybe we'll talk offline.
All right. That sounds good. But thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Rep.
Madam Chair, if I could...
Defend St. Cloud.
Madam Chair, Representative Perryman, I just want to say thank you so much for your support, and I would be absolutely honored to have you sign on to this bill as a co-author. Thank you very much, Representative Perryman.
Thank you both.
All right. Any other discussion? Katisa Witten, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Wolgamat, for bringing this bill forward. I know the MIFs do tremendous work for our economy all across the state, and we've heard another bill, I think Representative Brand is carrying one, particularly related to child care options through the MIF Foundation. So just in reading the language of this, it looks like, it covers a lot, but doesn't cover child care. So there is not an overlap between Representative Brand's bill and this bill here, in particular related to the housing unit situation. I think that's really important. So I think, the committee's got a lot to talk about, but this is definitely one of the investments that we know is going to reach the people who need it most across the state. And I'm really excited to talk to you offline about a bill that I'm carrying with Exodus Lending for halal and Islamic-friendly loans as they expand across the state, too. So,
great. Yeah,
thank you.
Any other discussion? And final comment on the bill, Rep.
Well, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I know you're tight on time, so I'll just say thank you so much for the time today, and let's make good use of this one-time appropriation that can benefit communities throughout Minnesota for decades to come. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members.
Thank you. Chair renews that House File 2556 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Up next, we have House File 2152 with Rep. Brand. While Rep. Brand is descending down, Chair moves that House File 2152 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Rep. Brand, please explain your bill.
Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. House File 2152 is a bill that addresses some financing for a an organization that actually was created back in 1997 under statute. And so House File 2152 seeks $639,000 in 24 and 25 for research from the Center for Rural Policy and Development. The Center for Rural Policy and Development, to me personally, has been one of those resources that I have utilized even in my time as a city council member in St. Peter long, long ago. And they do a lot of great, impactful research. For instance, the most recent research that I'm aware of was emailed to me back last month, and it dealt with mental health and the bottlenecks and the roadblocks to actually getting mental health providers matched up with folks who have issues that need to be addressed by those providers. And so they are collaborative. They have worked with organizations across the spectrum of Greater Minnesota. They've dealt with things like child care. They've dealt with things like I mentioned, with mental health. The bottom line is this, to me, is a resource that we all utilize here at the legislature. We have access to all of their information, and I really do appreciate the quality and the caliber of the legislation that they do provide. This is a staff of three. And so Julie Tetch beside me is the president and CEO, and we have two researchers, Marty Warner and Kelly Ash. And both of those, or all three of those folks, live in Greater Minnesota. And, you know, the organization is kind of centered in the Mankato area, which is where I represent. And so I have maybe a little bit of partiality. But honestly, the organization itself has 20 members of the board as well. And those members come from places like Lakefield, all the way up to Roseau, from Harmony, Minnesota, all the way to Pipestone. And so those members of the board cover the entire state. And so, you know, they're the folks that kind of direct what the research is and that sort of thing. We also direct the research here at the legislature. Every year they send out a survey asking you, the legislator, what issues do they research? And so I want to turn this testimony over, or this opportunity to testify over, to Julie. And I'm happy to answer any questions and to talk about how great this organization really is.
Thank you, Rep. Rand. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Chair Hassan and members of the committee, thank you for having me here today. My name is Julie Tesh, and I'm president and CEO of the Center for Rural Policy and Development. In your packets, and it's going to be coming up on the screen, but in your packets you do have our presentation so that we can quickly go through there. All right. We'll tag team this. Our organization, like Representative Brand said, was created in statute by the legislature in 1997 with the mission of providing policy leaders like yourself with critical, unbiased research through a rural lens. Data for rural places is notoriously hard to find and use, and that's where we come in. Without data visualizations, maps, or even raw data in an accessible form, decision makers often struggle to contextualize their region's economic assets. This can be particularly challenging when making decisions about investments, strategies, and grant opportunities in rural Minnesota. This data helps people like yourself and decision makers at the local level use data to help people see the opportunities, challenges, and inequities of rural places in a new light. I will let you know that our research does not develop policy. We inform policy. We're a free resource for all of you to use. We are very nonpartisan, and we hope that you use our resources. Our research and rural economic analysis efforts are rooted in the belief that for small towns and communities to thrive, rural leaders need access to data and information that can influence their efforts and economic strategies. A majority of our topics that we research affect the entire state of Minnesota. We provide the information from a rural lens, which is often otherwise a perspective left out of the conversation. And a large majority of our research is on workforce. Like Representative Brand just said, our most recent report came out on rural mental health workforce and how we need practitioners in that area. Rural Minnesota has undergone several changes in the last 20 years, and we are committed to using data to ensure there is available research that reflects this evolution and the opportunities that accompany it. We recognize the critical importance of making data and research available and accessible to community leaders. We also understand that it can be difficult to find research that is completely unbiased and nonpartisan. So we are a proud and trusted and tested organization providing that information. In developing these resources, I will, I'll stay here. Here's our staff. I am in rural Waseca County. Marnie is in Mankato, and Kelly is in New London, Minnesota. So we proudly represent Minnesota. We're happy to live there. We're proud to do research on them. Our bill before you today increases funding for our current appropriation. This increased funding is critical to our organization's ability to continue providing timely research to policy leaders and do our best to keep up with inflation. We run a very lean operation with just three staff members. We have seen a large increase the past few years of research requests coming in and want to do everything we can to accommodate those requests. In front of you today, there's also a document listing our research topics for the year, and I will also refer you to the screen talking about our thought leader survey. You will all be receiving a survey via email and a hard copy asking you what is going on in your local communities, rural or urban, or if you're in an urban area, what are you hearing about rural communities? What things need to be worked on? And from there, then we also ask county commissioners, city council people, other influencers across the state. And from there, we put together our research agenda for the coming year. If you want to go quick. Yep, and you can find us on social media, of course. Please check us out. Again, we're a resource for all of you to use. We're happy to have you use it. With that, thank you again for your time today. We appreciate all of the work that you have done and look forward to continuing to be a resource and partner with you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Discussion on the bill.
We're good.
Oh, Rep. Schumacher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is the third time I've spoken in this committee. The first time was to introduce myself. The second time was to ask a question based on the research that came from the Center of Rural Policy and Development to another one of Representative Brand's bills. I served on this board as the House appointee several years ago when we were in the majority, and this organization I know goes well above what they really would be expected to do when it comes to being nonpartisan and really seeks to serve the interests of the people that respond to the surveys and those sorts of things. I know without a doubt in my mind that this money will be well utilized and be focused on the research. Thank you.
Thank you. Any others? Nope. Final word on the bill.
Well, to bring it home for everyone, thanks a lot for the opportunity. This is a bipartisan bill. Representative Anderson and I are both co-authoring this bill this year. And the opportunity is really just to get good data in front of us. And I think that we found out recently in some other research that the Center for Rural Policy and Development was able to give us that in greater Minnesota, population actually increased, which is not what you would see as a trend right now in Minnesota. And so now that we know that information, now we can make changes to our policy decisions. We can drill down more further into why are folks moving from metro and urban areas to the great parts of Minnesota. And also, you know, maybe that will help influence how we spend our money as well in a wise fashion to meet everybody's needs. And so I just want to say thank you for the opportunity here to talk about the Center for Rural Policy and Development, and I really appreciate consideration for this in the omnibus bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rep. Brand, may I ask a request from you guys that you send us the data that's talking about mental health in rural areas? Mm-hmm. I'm really interested in that. Okay. Chair renews that House File 2152 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next bill is House File 2015, Rep. Keselowski.
I don't know how to run this.
Rep. Keselowski, would you like to move your bill?
Chair, yes, I would like to move this bill.
All right. Your bill is before us. Please explain your bill.
Great. Well, thank you, Chair, and members of our committee. Excited to be here for House File 2015 for the Latino Economic Development Center. It would seek to appropriate $4 million for LEDC to assist in their really important work in economic development and workforce. For over 18 years, LEDC has been assisting and supporting, financing, and launching hundreds of successful micro-entrepreneurs starting back in 2003. And you've seen them in the Metro, in Long Prairie, Wilmer, Owatonna, Austin, St. Cloud, and beyond. And I've had the pleasure of knowing the executive director here and this organization as a very trusted partner in both our Latino community as well as in our communities of color. And they've helped entrepreneurs through every step from the beginning to launching their business and on through training and providing one-on-one technical assistance to farmers, to emerging farmers, and helping capital. Also, as we know, land acquisition is one of the really important aspects of making our farmers successful. And so I will let you hear from our first testifier for LDC to talk about the really important work that they're doing and about what the impact of this investment and these dollars would mean for our Latino community across the state.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I feel like that was the best introduction to a bill in a long time. I don't know if I should even say anything more. So I'll skip a couple of things. I'll just highlight a few things. Last year, we supported 1,100 clients with their entrepreneur needs. We did this through four departments: lending, business development, workforce training, and agriculture. Access to capital continues to be the biggest barrier for our clients to start in or expand their businesses. And in the last 5 years, LDC has been able to lend to 136 businesses patient affordable capital that has accounted for about $7 million and has leveraged another $15 million in additional funding. Not all 1,100 clients can be ready to start a business or access capital. However, everyone is ready to acquire workforce training through our ongoing educational programs, small cohort training, and one-on-one technical assistance. A couple other highlights I would say is that in the last 2.5 years, we supported 47 food producers and 133 agriculture workers in dairy and meatpacking sector. We supported nearly 500 businesses and accessed $22 million in federal, state, and local funding. We also became the number one administrator of COVID-19 housing assistance program, administering nearly 14 million to 5,000 households across 61 counties across the state. I say this because for nearly 20 years, LDC has been fully committed to supporting our Minnesota small business sector and workforce, and we will continue to do so. We have never received direct appropriations and viewed this request not as a grant, but as an investment in Latino small businesses and our workforce. Thank you, Representative Kozlowski and Madam Chair and committee members for your time and consideration.
Thank you. And I believe we have an amendment, the A1 amendment. Reed Kosnick, is that yours?
Yes, Madam Chair. I would move the H2015A1 amendment.
Okay. Would you explain your amendment?
Thank you, members. This is a grant to the Latino Chamber of Commerce. Appreciate Latino Lead kind of letting us, or excuse me, LEDC, piggybacking off of their project here, but the Latino Chamber is a statewide nonprofit that's dedicated to the advancement of economic opportunities for Latino businesses in Minnesota. They have over 600 members, and the primary use of the funds is to support and grow Latino businesses statewide. Right now, they're mostly focused in the metro. They do workshops that include supplier diversity initiatives, corporate, government, and nonprofit engagement. Commercial property development growth strategies, moving from renting to owning their own buildings. I've been involved with them in the last couple of years. They do a really good job of bringing the Latino community, a business community together, and talking with the chamber on this. I want them to be able to expand their offerings and throughout the state. And so I offer the A1 amendment and ask for your support.
Discussion on the amendment. Rep. Kozlowski.
Thank you, Chair, as well as to Rep. Kosnick. We've been in communication over the past couple of days, as well as with my friend here in their bill for LEDC. And, you know, with over 346,000 Latinos in Minnesota, we know that right now it's really critical to make these co-investments into our community and make sure that we're growing our capacity. And so for that reason, we would ask for support of this amendment and accept it to really move our community forward.
Thank you. All those in favor of adopting the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The amendment is adopted. Any other discussion on the bill? Rep. Weiner, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess since my community was actually named specifically, I would like to show my support for this as well. We have a large Latino population in and around Long Prairie, and a lot of good businesses, a lot of growth. So I'm very much in support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Ed Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I would just like to thank Representative Kozlowski for bringing this bill forward and authoring it. The work of LEDC, as I've learned through my time on the Minnesota Latino Affairs Council, if I can say it, and working with Mr. Jimenez, just a rock star in the Latino community and the economic and broader business community. So you're doing great things. Did good work at the Latino Chamber. We should be supporting your work here and your efforts. As was mentioned, the Latino community is a growing community, a very young and vibrant community, and will provide for resiliency in the Minnesota economy for years to come. And this type of investment, as was mentioned, goes a long ways to help that community. And this is through Latino economic development that it's really the future of Minnesota.
Madam Chair, can we make sure we capture his positive comments for the record?
It's being captured. Everything we say in here is recorded. Any other comments? Vice Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Kozlowski. And I just want to give a shout out to our testifier. We went through the same grad school program as Mapplers. We know that showing up and, you know, being the change we want to see in the world is really powerful. So it was great to see you Saturday, and it's great to see you back here today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Well, I just want to chime in. I do represent one of the largest districts that has the largest Latino community. I have Lake Street in my district, and I truly believe the Latino community is one of the hardest working communities I have ever seen, and I appreciate their presence in our state. And their contribution to our economy, to our diversity. I support the bill, of course, but I also want to put that on the record because I appreciate, having a very rich diversity district and not rich in material or monetary in any way because my district's poor, but having the diversity and the richness of different cultures and, all of this resilient communities growing together, learning from each other, and succeeding together. Thank you for the bill, Rep. Kozlowski. Thank you, Henry, for being here. I remember when the civil unrest happened and you were on Lake Street. We were on Lake Street together trying to figure out what just happened and how do we support our communities on Lake Street. And your organization and your team came through and did what they do at best and supported and stood with. More than anything, the moral support was really what people needed on that day, and you were right there with us after the aftermath of George Floyd's murder and the civil unrest. And that's how I've gotten to know your work, and I appreciate your work.
Thank you.
Last word on the bill, Rep. Kozlowski.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for this really robust conversation. You know, I think it's really clear that the robust capacity building that LEDC has done and stepped up and showed that they're ready for this investment and they're ready to continue to expand the work in Make a Minnesota where our Latino and all of our communities can thrive. And the piece that I also wanted to say is, there is the Minnesota Latino Leadership Alliance, and as part of the 2023 policy agenda is a priority to really invest in our Latino-led organizations, and this bill would do that to make sure that we can launch more micro-entrepreneurs in a wide range of supports for folks to be able to thrive. So thank you so much, and do ask for your support going forward.
Thank you. Rep. Kozlowski renews their motion that House File 2015 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. And I believe you have another bill.
Two more, actually.
House file. It's my show.
All right, it's your day. House file 2440 is the next bill, and Rep. Kosofsky moves House File 2440 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Your bill is in front of us. Rep. Kosofsky, please explain your bill.
Excellent. Thank you, Chair. Just moving through my papers here. Here for the second bill, which is House File 2440. In this bill, I'm also very excited to be here. As I just mentioned, the Minnesota Latino Leadership Policy Agenda and our broad prioritization for our Latino organizations and really investing in our leadership and our entrepreneurs and our workforce. So this bill would appropriate $250,000 for Latino Lead for a real estate study that will be conducted through a professional firm, and will really look at the market availability and rates and stakeholder location, scope of work, and all of the other points that are needed to really make sure that there's the best path forward and help find a permanent location for the really important work that this organization and these leaders are doing. So Latino Lead is one of the only, if not the only group, that's actually fostering our professional leadership and stewardship among Latino professionals so that our younger Latinos have a resource to look into as they work towards starting or solidifying their professional careers. This is something that I am seeing and people are excited and hungry for more of. And as we've seen Latino Lead, they are growing immensely over the last few years. In fact, due to their amazing work and long list of achievements, I want to highlight that the Minnesota Latino of Chamber of Commerce, of which we just put a dollar supporting, and their work has named this nonprofit as a nonprofit of the year for 2022. And even more, they've been nominated for numerous national awards, such as Excelencia in Educación. And so I think it's really a testament to the work that they've been building and the work that they're building for our future. So finally, I just want to say that Latino Lead also did a community assessment that was conducted by the Wilder Research, which shows that over 90% of the subjects agreed that this organization is tremendously vital and plays an important role in serving our Latinos here in Minnesota. So this study shows that the large majority of participants want Latino Lead to focus on economic and leadership development. And I'd like to turn it over to my first testifier to really talk about what this study would do and what this would do to grow our leadership across Minnesota.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, and good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Thank you very much for letting me have this opportunity to testify in front of you today. My name is Karen Velez Barron, and I am the Finance and Operations Director of Latino Lead. Latino Lead is a nonprofit organization with a vast network of Latino professionals working together to harness their collective knowledge, contacts, and insight to promote individual development and strong collaboration between Latino professionals and Latino students to enhance their leadership skills, provide coaching into professional settings, help address the workforce shortage that we are facing now in this state. Latino Lead has been around for nearly a decade now. We started as a group of leaders that would convene listening sessions, then we got a staff member, and now we are a staff of five, and also we engage several volunteers throughout the state. With this wonderful team, we facilitate social, professional, and policy reform throughout impactful convening and coalition building and strategy leadership development. As a statewide organization, we believe in Minnesota where all the people can achieve education and financial freedom. Due to our rapid growth, we are faced with a positive challenge and needing of a permanent home. That will also help us accommodate not just our staff, but also our programming events associated with service that we provide to our community, stakeholders, and partners. This bill will help us all, and it will help our community. The stakeholders involved with Latino Lead is crucial in helping us address the workforce challenge that employees are facing growing now. I just want to mention that our partners with Latino professionals include 3M, Target, Medtronic, Best Buy, Pepsi, Wells Fargo, and many other corporations. The state's involvement with Latino Lead will really help us grow as a leadership organization, but also as a nonprofit. our highlight of our leadership involvement is our Latino Lead Network, sharing their knowledge, experience, and connections with our professionals. Also, we love to let our corporate organizations know to take advantage about our career centers joining us and facilitate our Elevate Inspire monthly workshops that we host, and also attending our Latino Annual Leadership Conference, which is one of the biggest and only Latino leadership conference in Minnesota. And also applying for our ALP program that was announced as one of nominated Avanzando Liderazgo Awards. We are grateful for your consideration, and we know that this bill will make a huge difference for us and our stakeholders and in Minnesota. Please support House File 2440. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, and I believe you have another testifier.
This is going to be our only testifier for this bill.
All right. Discussion on the bill. Lead Cosnick.
I've done some events and appreciate what Latino Lead does. My only concern or the big concern is that the Economic Development Committee is being asked to provide a real estate study. I don't know that that's necessarily an economic development driver, and so the ask is a little bit unusual to me. And while I appreciate what Latino Lead does, I'm not certain that, you know, any nonprofit organization that wants to potentially buy a building, if we're setting a precedent that they come to us and ask us to help them with their real estate development things. There are other avenues within the communities to help do some of that stuff. So I do have a concern, Madam Chair, with this, but I appreciate a lot of the work that Latino Lead does, and I think it just sets a bad precedent, and maybe there's a better avenue to do that.
Rep. Koslowski.
Sure, I'd just be happy to chime in and say, you know, in terms of bringing this forward and with bills, that it's really important that, you know, you don't get what you don't ask for, and I think it's important to bring that forward and explore all possible funding mechanisms. You know, I serve on bonding, and I know that many times that we brought forward a bill like this, and then it might go on to another committee, so I think it is important, but I'll, you know, if Karen would like to chime in on the specifics of why, but as we heard in this committee and in terms of investments, it's really hard to be what you don't see. And right now we talk about having a workforce or a labor shortage, and I really think that we have a shortage of respect and dignity, good and fair wages, and for Latino people, you know, we have some of the highest, if not the highest, labor participation. And so investing in this would really mean that folks who are going into corporate settings, who are going to be entrepreneurs and emerging farmers, we've heard bill after bill and bill in this committee, and that this is part of that, you know, going into that mix to be able to support our economy and our workforce and the people who make it going.
Thank you.
And if I can add on to that.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I do just want to say, first and foremost, as you all know, I'm not a public speaker, so I get a little anxious here. But I do want to mention that it speaks a lot and highly of Latino Lead as an organization that we are doing a study, because we are focused on where we should be placed for our community by transportation, by also easy access to us. Right? And a lot of things that we do is for development, and our stakeholders and partners, just like the Minnesota Latino Chamber of Commerce and the Minnesota Latino Affairs Councils, support this because they see that we are moving rapidly and know that we need a home. And that really means just a lot, and it says a lot. So I just want to say, we already did a community assessment to know what our community needs. Now we need to make sure that we conduct a professional research on where should we be placed, because we are thinking of a bigger future for our community.
Thank you. Any other comments? Final word on the bill.
All right. Well, thank you, committee. I know we are pressed on time today, but we really do appreciate the opportunity to tell the really big, bright story and the outlook for Latino Lead and for our entire Latino community. And I think it's really special to be able to do it here with my friends today and my comunidad to be able to build that bright future. And part of that is making sure that we have a place to land and a permanent place to land for our community that anchors us for the years to come. So ask for your support and consideration.
Thank you, Rep. Koslowski. Chair renews the motion that House File 2440 be laid over for possible inclusion. Next bill is House File 2789. Chair moves House File 2789 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Rep. Koslowski, please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Chair. And members of the committee, I tried to leave a little too soon, but I'm here this time for House File 2789, and I'm very tremendously excited to bring this one forward as well. This whole slate of bills is just really important to the work that we're doing here in Minnesota, to the work why I am at the legislature, and this one in particular is a one-of-a-kind bill that will really help us to move our economic needle, specifically for our LGBTQ Minnesotans. So this bill would actually provide grant funding and critical support for LGBTQ entrepreneurs and small businesses across Minnesota so that we can make sure that Minnesota is a place where all businesses and all people can thrive. Unfortunately, the reality is that for our LGBTQ small businesses, they're more likely to suffer from financial difficulties and face obstacles in accessing financing and emergency support compared to non-LGBTQ small businesses. And there is not a single state program designed specifically to support our LGBTQ entrepreneurs who face additional and unique roadblocks. And there are significant gaps in data collection for LGBTQ folks in all facets of our lives, from health, wellness, education, housing, economics, you name it. And this lack of data is really detrimental to us in that it leaves us a whole host of important conversations out of these conversations and critical programming. So in 2021, the Federal Small Business Credit Survey allowed LGBTQ-owned firms to be identified in their annual survey for the very first time. This gave us hard data that confirmed what we've known and have been sharing anecdotally for many years. The fact sheet from the survey that is in your packet, which you have, shows that in every measurement of financial health, challenges, institutional support, and impact from COVID, our businesses fared much worse than non-LGBTQ business-owned businesses. And so this bill before you would provide $375,000 to P Fund Foundation, a trusted organization to administer grants to LGBTQ entrepreneurs, as well as $125,000 to Quorum to provide business development support, technical assistance, and training to grant recipients. It also would hold 33% of the funds for racial minority-owned businesses, as we have heard, who also face unique barriers, and another 33.3% to businesses outside of the 7-county metro. So these funds will really help scale the equity fund program that PFUND and Quorum have been partnering on since 2020, which our testifiers will share more about. PFUND Foundation is an expert in grant making, and Quorum is an expert in LGBTQ business development and support. And together, they pair to make the perfect vehicle to really make sure that we get the most of this money and assistance directly into the hands of the people who need it most. So I would like to turn it over, Chair, to the testifiers to share more about this bill.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Committee Chair Hassan and members of the committee. My name is Aaron Zimmerman. I am the executive director of PFUND Foundation. PFUND Foundation has a 36-year legacy as the LGBTQ plus community foundation, serving our individuals, families, and organizations here in Minnesota and across the upper Midwest through our scholarship program with more than 500 scholars from across those years for academic pursuits, as well as grants for small businesses and nonprofits. PFUND Foundation has awarded several million dollars over our history and utilize a deep community-driven review process. Our foundation truly is for and by the LGBTQ plus community. At the outset of the pandemic, our LGBTQ plus small businesses were hurting, and there were no dedicated funds to support these entrepreneurs as they navigated COVID-19 as well as the uprising following the murder of George Floyd. Naturally, we turned to Quorum, the LGBTQ plus and allied Chamber of Commerce, to build a program in support of these businesses in tandem with our small business grant program. The Equity Fund, as it is called, has deployed more than $185,000 in resources for LGBTQ plus small businesses here in Minnesota. This program has awarded two cohorts here in the Twin Cities, but we are looking to expand the program statewide. In our first year, many of the businesses that applied were looking for stability and resources to keep their businesses open during the tough economic times. Our current cohort, however, represents a phase of investing in infrastructure and growth and their marketing, really seeing the expansion of their program, of their small businesses. So with funding from the state, we can expand this innovative and truly one of a kind in the country program across the state, again, with one third of those funds being dedicated to rural LGBTQ small businesses and a third for BIPOC LGBTQ plus small businesses. As two trusted community partners, PFund and Quorum are well equipped to ensure these resources are utilized effectively and efficiently. Funding for the Equity Fund demonstrates that Minnesota is a welcoming and inclusive place to do business. Thank you.
Thank you. Please invite your next testifier to come to the table. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you for this time. My name is Ron Stryker. I am the Quorum Board President, currently filling in for our Executive Director, Rebecca, who is down in Albuquerque doing this exact same work with other chamber leaders via NGLCC. So I am here on her behalf as well. For over 27 years, Quorum has been working to build, connect, and strengthen the LGBTQ plus and allied business communities across Minnesota. And I think with that length of experience, we can certainly consider ourselves experts at what we do. True inclusion allows LGBTQ plus people to achieve their economic potential when they get the education and the training that improves productivity and when they are treated equally in the labor market. We know that the LGBTQ plus business owners have been deeply impacted by a variety of issues. Our small business owners here in Minnesota continue to struggle to find capital, to find employees, to find education and support necessary to start and scale their businesses. Financial equity is crucial in moving from surviving to thriving. As we know, the strongest economies are the ones that include and engage everyone, and this program does just that. This program invests in the very infrastructure of LGBTQ and owned plus businesses, from small business grants to wraparound education and technical assistance, and we are here to move the economic scale, the needle. The ripple effects of this investment are limitless. Stronger individuals, stronger Main Streets, stronger families, and I can't believe I have to say this, but for so many businesses, just being LGBTQ is their biggest detriment. We must keep the thousands of Minnesota LGBTQ plus business owners who grow local economies and create jobs in mind when shaping legislation that create equal opportunities for everyone. They drive economic development, create jobs, and build stronger communities, all despite the latent and often outright hostile discrimination they continue to endure on account of their sexual orientation or gender identity. Diversity is great for business. Giving Queer People Economic Agency won't solve every issue, but it will allow our communities to thrive. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much for your testimony. I believe we have one more testifier. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Sure. Hello, committee chair and committee members. My name is Bello Miguel Cipriani, and I'm the founder of OLIT Media. We are a digital access firm, and what we do is we help companies build accessible and inclusive websites and other digital properties. I am a member of many diverse groups. I am disabled, I'm blind, I'm a person of color. But by far, the biggest obstacle in my entrepreneurship journey is being gay, being a member of the LGBT community. I'm not the only person that does what I do, but I see my counterparts spending less money on ads and marketing to reach the same volume of people. Something that I encounter a lot are people who see me and question my credentials and then say when they find out that I'm gay that my values don't align with their values and terminate projects. And sometimes it's been challenging to kind of overcome that. With the equity fund, the grant, I was able to buy the software to upskill my marketing efforts, to be able to really build a system. I was able to learn about approaches to get certified as an LGBT business and look at other avenues for revenue. But by far, you know, as a business owner, we all need traffic. But when you have, when you attract a group of people who automatically will not do business for who you are, it pushes me as a gay businessman to have to spend more money. You know, the other business owners can just get 50 people to show up. I could get 50 people, but the reality is half of them will not do business with me because of who I am, and that's something I can't help. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony and for coming down here. Discussion on the bill. Lead Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm curious on the equity fund. I'm kind of looking at it a little bit. Started in 2020. What is the amount of grants that they're currently doing with the P-Fund Foundation or through Quorum?
Are you speaking to the size of individual? Oh, sorry. Chair.
Chair.
A clarifying question. Is this the amount of grants or the total total granting?
Madam Chair, I think the committee would be interested in, yes, both the number of grants and the amount of the grants.
Go ahead.
Of course. Thank you, Chair Hassan. We currently deploy about $105,000 currently as the program stands through a combination of foundation support and individual support. And those grants range anywhere from $5,000 up to this year, our largest grant was $20,000. This program would allow us to expand that. We're estimating, you know, approximately, you know, 25 to 45 businesses, probably within that similar range of grant size.
Thank you. I'll leave. I think, is there a follow-up?
No, that information is helpful. I don't think I do have a follow-up.
Okay. Any other? Rep. Kozlowski. Not Kozlowski. Sorry. Katiso, it's too many K's, you guys.
That's okay, Madam Chair. Actually, just yesterday, Representative Kozlowski and I realized that there are three members on this committee that last name starts with a K and includes a Z. So rare, and I think,
you
know.
I just want to mess with my head. And go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative Kozlowski, for bringing this bill forward. I'm proud to co-author. I think, you know, obviously, as we all are, tremendous supporters of the economy here in Minnesota. And I think that, you know, through no fault of their own, certainly, our LGBTQ brothers and sisters have been traditionally left out of the most common funding sources for being entrepreneurs and getting their businesses off the ground. I think additionally, in a world where our LGBTQ brothers and sisters are facing fewer and fewer safe spaces and places where they can be themselves. This is so important because I think it's twofold. I mean, not only do businesses face issues like your testifier spoke to, where, you know, fearing like for being themselves, they may lose potential business. But on the flip side of that, consumers who are members of the LGBTQ community, may not feel safe entering traditional business places and spaces. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, if a business owner is able to be who they are openly and proudly, as is my hope for the future, then those members of our community, consumers, can, as they say, vote with their dollars and support places and spaces that are safe for them, that are welcoming, and really truly help grow the economy all across the state. So thank you so much for being who you are and supporting all of our Minnesotans who need a little bit more support.
Mm-hmm. All right, any other discussion?
Just one short comment, Madam Chair.
I'll lead Kosnick.
If this is included in the omnibus bill, I don't, unless I missed it, see any reporting. I'd be curious to see the impact, if we could have a report back on how many people were helped, where they were located. I know, to the extent practical, on line 1.14, to be distributed across the state, but that's not always possible, so I understand the wording choice in there. But I think the committee would be interested in knowing how many people were served and if it actually had an economic impact, just like we did on a couple of the other bills we had earlier today.
Committee Chair Hassan, we would be thrilled to share the results of the impact of this legislation and this bill. I think the big thing is that representation is such an important part of the journey that we're on, and so to be able to like shout that from the rooftops would be really great. We're a 36-year-old organization. We have had clean bills of clean audits for as long as we've been around. And we do extensive reporting because not only are we accountable to the institutions that help provide the funding, we're accountable to our communities as well. So we want to make sure that we've got lots of evidence that this type of programming is truly impactful, because that also helps us get other funders to the table, so it's not solely resting on the state to support this.
Thank you. Rep. Koslowski, do you have something to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, you know, thank you for the question. Thank you, Chair Hassan. That as we're really creating the blueprint, as we heard, this type of program and supports have never been done. And I, as a two-spirit person who holds multiple identities as well, I wish it weren't true that we had to come here today with this slate of bills. But we know that the reality is that we've been disinvested or not invested in, and that it's you know, a show of Minnesota to step up and say, we're not going to leave any communities behind. And so in terms of the reporting requirement, absolutely would like to work with you. We're willing to do that. I think especially because of the racial equity as well as the LGBTQ equity, as we know that those are particularly strain and pain points. I'll just say that, you know, I look forward to working to make sure that our procurement systems are also creating opportunities for these businesses to really tap their full potential. As our economy, we make $25.5 million impact annually, and there are over 21,000 LGBTQ-owned businesses, and of those are 2,300 are BIPOC and LGBTQ-owned. So it's both how do we support as well as maximize the potential and economic impact.
Thank you, Rep. Koslowski. I want to thank you and your testifiers for this bill. I want to quote one of my favorite you know, late politicians, Paul Wellstone, said, we all do better when we all do better. But I modify that by saying we all do better when our BIPOC, LGBTQ+, our folks with disability do better. Mm-hmm. So I'm very thankful for the work that you're doing and the members that came. It's not easy coming and asking for support. I know that. But we have to. Sometimes it, you know, people say, pull up by your bootstraps. People don't have boots, or their boots don't have straps. So how are you going to do that? So thank you. With that, your final comments on the bill?
Yes, thank you, Chair Hassan, and for the conversation. You know, what it is that we're doing here and the opportunity to make sure that, you know, everybody can thrive. It comes down to that. We want to have thriving families, want to have thriving communities, and make sure that we don't have to be worried about being harmed, and we create a Minnesota where we belong and where we're safe and thrive. So thank you so much.
All right. With that, Chair renews the motion that House File 2789 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you. Members, I'm surprised that we are done early. I was crunching time all day long. Our next meeting is Friday, March 24 at 10:30. This time, at least, it's not 8:30. We have a couple bills, and it will be at Capitol 120. All right, so the notice that went out said 8:30, but it's not 8:30. It's 10:30 at Capitol Room 120. We have a couple bills that we need to hear, and I'll make sure that we are brief and people can go home. I know some members have to go home to Greater Minnesota.
Madam Chair, could you just share with the committee, if you're able, kind of what the layout is for an omnibus bill with the jobs, and are we doing that? Is that part of Friday's agenda? I haven't looked at it yet. There.
Nope. Friday's agenda is hearing a couple last bills. The plan is that we're going to hear an omnibus bill on Wednesday, and then next week we'll have Wednesday and Friday. Yep.
Sorry, it's deadline week. I know I don't like Fridays either, but we have to get this done.
Yeah. No, all right. Thank you for sharing that.
All right. Well, thank you. With no more business before us, we are adjourned.